Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 369, Giggity. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
What's going on, Ant?
I'm tired.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm tired. And, you know, it's one of those things where we start to show our age, Larry, right? So
we
really start to show our age. But just, you know, I got up at like 3 o'clock this morning, could not sleep. It's been a rough week. And I found a piece of gaming news. So I was like, I'll send it out to the group because Larry and I are on a group chat with like Jack and Rich and Tal and, you know, a bunch of our friends. Yeah, a bunch of our friends.
There's a pretty old bunch, the entire group.
Yeah, that's a group. Okay. So I sent out a piece of retro news at 3 a.m. I said, they'll see it in the morning and we'll talk about it. 30 seconds later, there's Larry responding. And then there's Jack responding. And I'm like, does anybody sleep anymore?
No, seriously. Like when I responded and then when I saw Jack respond, I was like, what the hell, people? Yeah. We all need to go back to sleep.
We all need to go back to bed. We're all up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. No wonder why we like crash early and can't handle things anymore. Ah, okay. Middle age.
I saw you on Zelda again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I what else am I going to do at 3 a.m.? So I'm just working. And since you bring up Zelda, it'd be great to point out that I have officially beaten Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom is in the books. I got my ending. I'm very happy. Awesome game. Highly recommend it. But it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
I imagine it would be.
Yeah. Like, because you know how we were talking
not
about...
Not highly recommended. Let me rephrase myself. I can't imagine the game being at all highly recommended.
No. In the book. Sorry, I can't take it back. But we were talking not too long ago. I think it was last week. When you... maybe not on the podcast, but with our friends.
Somewhere.
You beat Metroid Other M.
I was just about... I don't remember. Did I mention this last week? I don't remember.
I don't
think I did.
Well,
no, I didn't.
I mentioned it for you.
No, yeah. And I'll get into that a little bit more in a moment.
But what I wanted to point out was you had beaten Metroid Other M and you had like you had a percentage. It's like,
okay.
It tells you how much you completed.
For the horse, yes.
Yes. And the only reason why I'm bringing that up, it's like I beat Tears of the Kingdom and I'm like really happy and I get the great ending and stuff like that. I said, this is so cool. And then Rich asked me, he's like, how much of the game did you complete? And I'm like, well, let me go back in and look. Because if you go in the game and you go on to the map,
mm-hmm.
map in the lower right corner will tell you your percentage out of 100. And I'm like, okay, so go in. And I thought I did great. I was like, I finished a lot. I found all of the memories. I did a lot of the side quests. I got most of the shrines. I'm like, I should have a good number. I go in and I look at it. It's like 44.34%. And I'm like, what? I was like, wait, I beat the game with that? You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, but I've maxed out my stamina wheel. I've got like 22 hearts. I'm like, what's going on?
How many hours?
You know what? I did not look that up.
Okay.
I didn't look up how to look that up.
You can look it up on the actual Switch itself, not in the game, on the Switch itself. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I didn't look at the hours, but I'm sure I've put in a good 50 to 60 at least.
Did you send us a pic? I think you sent us a screen grab of it. Did you not?
I did not, but I'm going to post it.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
Yeah. Well, once this podcast drops, it will have been posted.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I was just like, wow. I was like, okay. I was like, so like I beat it earlier in the week. So now I've spent the rest of the week just wandering around Hyrule, trying to find all the things I haven't found, do little side quests and things like that. And like, even after like a few days, I'm like, I'm up to like 49%. It's like when you complete something in this game, it's like you get 0.03% added. Like that's how many things there are in the game. It's massive. The new thing I discovered was that there are a lot of hidden outfits in the game or armor that you can wear. Now I started looking for all of the hidden armor, and they have armor from other games. So in other words, like I'm collecting the Wind Waker Link outfit.
Oh,
I'm collecting the Ocarina of Time outfit, which is kind of cool.
So I just looked up, I just Googled this. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading this correctly, according to the Hyrule Compendium, mm-hmm. I believe there is 509 things to do in total.
Wow.
There's 31 shrines, shrine quests. Wait, hold on.
No, 31 shrine quests, or not 31 shrines. Because I'm at
okay,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Although I'm like 108 shrines or 111 okay. shrines.
Although you need to complete these to access the 31 hidden shrines, something like that. There's 139 side quests.
Wow. Okay.
Memories, 18 of them.
Yep, those I have.
Including 12 dragon tier marks. If I'm reading that right. Marked on the
yes,
map.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. So bottom line is 509 things to do.
Okay. Yeah, it's massive. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, nah, I got through most of it. And I'm like, I'm pretty good. And I'm like, I can't, like, and that's the problem with me. I mean, I am when I play a game, I tend to be a completionist. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I really want to be. I don't think I'm going to hit 100 on this, but I at least want a passing grade.
You know what? I hate to say it. I think that's, is there something in the game called the Hyrule Compendium?
Yes. That's the thing I'm never going to complete, because literally it wants you to run around Hyrule and take photos of everything.
Okay. That alone is 509.
Yes.
So
and that's one quest.
No, now I have the list. Okay. Have you unlocked all 228 recipes?
No.
Yep. This is why I don't play this game. There's 36 armor sets containing 105 pieces and 30 unique armor pieces.
Yep. So I've been working on that. Well, the recipes, though, I don't think you need to unlock them.
Well, you have to do them.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not wasting my time doing that.
And also, on a side note, there's 900 Korok seeds.
Yeah, so the Korok seeds are where I quit Breath of the Wild, because they had that many, and I said, there's no way I'm collecting all of those.
And the final thing I'll mention is this, because of the size of the map, talking about like what you do is what percentage, IGN actually broke it down. I'm quoting IGN. Tears of the Kingdom's increased size compared to Breath of the Wild with the map has downgraded each map point you unlock to being worth roughly 0.04%.
Yep.
Give or take.
Yes. And that's why, like, no, I know. And that's why, like if I think about what I did this week so far, like I went from like 44 to 49%. That means that I completed 100 things this week after I beat the game.
Yeah, it's wild. And I'll send this to you separately. There is an actual breakdown of map point type and approximate percentage to equal the 100% to get to it. So,
I'm never going to get 100 because I'm not doing 900 Korok seeds. The Korok things are like, as I find them, I get them. I was like, but I'm not on a mission. I'm not on a mission to 100% it. I've already given up on that. But I at least want to feel like I've done all the shrines
enough,
and maybe all the quests or most of the quests, because that compendium, I'm not playing photographer every time I go around. Like literally, it's like you got to take photos of like apples and and tomatoes, and like there's a whole food section.
So, much like you being a tourist in Hyrule.
Yes. Yes. It's like, wow, look at these apples. I'm just going to take a photo.
It looks beautiful.
So,
well, I'm sure you're going to get there, but at least
I will say my favorite though is taking a picture of the tree that's actually a monster. The tree comes to life and attacks you. It's called the Evermean.
I like that. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yes.
Well, at least you completed the game. Like you got to a point where you said to yourself, you know what? I've done what I can do for now. Let me complete the game and then I'll go back.
Yes.
As you pointed out.
Yeah. And it did have an epic, it had a very, very like solid, epic final battle. And the ending was great.
Oh yeah. I can't deal with final battles. Like I've had a couple already.
This one was great. It was really, really great.
So as you mentioned, like the whole percentage thing came about when I completed Metroid Other M, which shortly after we recorded last week, I completed Other M. And I was already near the end when we recorded. As I mentioned, I was in the epilogue part of the game. And before I got to the final boss of the game, I was like, you know what? I think, because, my numbers usually aren't that good with completing Metroid games. I don't even remember what my highest was. Maybe 50 something. Nah, it might have been like in the 70s, maybe. But this one, like when I completed Fusion, Fusion, it was low. It was like in the 50s. So, and what's cool about this one, and I don't remember if it was in all the other games, but in Other M, it will show you on the map where things are. And it will also tell you the completed percentage of each section. There's four sections. So that made it easy. So I'm like, all right, let me go back before I complete the game. Let me, because I'm not doing it for time. I'm not going for speed, I'm going for distance. So I'm like, okay. I do everything I think I'm doing. And then there was, let me actually step back for a second, because there was one final thing. Final, I don't know if it was a missile or an accelerator. I don't know what it was, but there was one thing left on the map. And I went to go get it. But I must have made a wrong turn at Albuquerque, because when I walked in, I ended up doing the final part of the game, because you go back to try to retrieve something. And then it goes into a cinematic mode. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Oops.
This might be the ending. And then, as with every Metroid game, the final part is a countdown to get back to your ship. And I was like, dang it, here goes the countdown. And I wasn't, because I didn't save it. Like, I didn't have a save point or anything, so I wasn't going back to finish it, like to restart it, I mean. So I just ran back to my ship, got in the ship, did it, game over. You have completed your mission. Your rate for collecting items is 99%.
All because of that one item.
Because I made a left instead of a right,
Yep.
and I didn't even, and I haven't even gone back yet to get that last item. I'm just like letting it sit there to percolate.
I was just gonna say, just let it live. Let it live.
But I was like, and then I texted you guys. I'm like, son of a gun, 99%. So I'm like,
That's
that's it.
awesome.
I'm
That's
done with
awesome.
Metroid for now.
All right. That's a good spot to take a break.
A very good spot. I mean, I did try, admittedly, I did try to go back to Prime Remastered. I have absolutely plum forgot how to play that game. And I'm on
Oh,
the
I'm sure
final
you.
boss.
Oh, how are you? Oh, I don't know
So,
why you quit at the final boss.
what?
Here's this. This is my final boss right here.
Look at him. Oh, and he's the most difficult of them all.
He really is,
No, I think,
right?
well, you might have
Because you're
got
in
him.
charge.
No, I took a break because no, I was battling the final Metroid, whatever, Omega Metroid, whatever it's called. I was battling her, and like when I was playing the game, and I must have played like 5 or 6 times. It is a wicked battle, so I needed to, I'm like, all right, let me take a break from this, and then as sometimes happens with the best of us, we take a break, and then that break, next thing you know, it's a year later. And yeah, I tried to pick it up again, and I don't remember the controls. I don't remember the
That's the worst.
strategies, because there is a little bit you have to get to from the save point till you get back to the Omega, whatever her name was. It's not Mother Brain, I don't think. To get to the final boss, and even that has some strategy to it that I just plumb forgot, to the point where I'm actually now debating whether or not to restart this game. Which is fine, it's an amazing game, but I put in almost a full day's worth of time. I've clocked almost 20 hours in this game.
Hey, look, sometimes you have to start them over. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
I guess
I
not.
mean, well, it's also a lesson. It's like if you get to the end of the game, just finish it.
I should have trucked through it, but man, it was rough and ugly.
If I can swing back to Tears of the Kingdom, though, one other thing I wanted to bring up, and Link, my cat, made me re remember it.
There's a cat mission.
Yes, no, it's not a cat mission, but no. Something really interesting happens when I play Tears of the Kingdom, and I posted about this on Facebook. But it's the first, like, it's the first time I've ever noticed my cat, Link, obsessed with what's on the television
Really?
screen. Like, when I start playing this game, he comes over, he sits down on he's on the floor, but he's sitting down and he's just staring up at the television watching it. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there. I was like, okay, could this be more meta? I have my cat Link watching Link on screen. But then, like the other day, I don't know, I was doing some type of battle And I look over at him and his eyes are bugged out and like he's like shifting. And like at one point he started to run away. Like, I don't know what was going on the screen. Like something was coming at the screen or something, but like he started to freak out while watching the game. And I'm like, oh man, I go, I'm giving my cat like anxiety while I'm playing this game. And I like, he's never reacted to a video game before.
Did he rip like a ball of catnip before you start playing or something?
You know what? Maybe he did. Maybe he sniffed a little nip and he was just high as a kite, but whenever I put the game on, like he'll just walk into the living room and he'll just sit there and watch it.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I was like,
I like that.
But only that one. Any other game I put on, he's not interested in it.
Any other Zelda game?
No, I haven't tried another Zelda game.
Ah, see, now we have a test.
Yes, but other games that I've played, like, you know, I play a lot of Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
In my spare time, although I haven't played much of it lately. But like any other game I throw on, like he doesn't care. It's like, it's just Tears of the Kingdom.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
He's so. Like, is this my other life? Is this what I was doing back
in
the day?
He's like, ooh, it's like my past life right there. There I am. But now I want I need a cat version of Legend of Zelda.
Oh, I am sure there's one out there. I could have sworn I sent you a link on that. Yeah, no pun intended. Like
Cat Quest or something.
No, there's a ton of cat games on the Switch.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. No, I know. I wonder, like, when I played Stray on my PS5, mm-hmm. I tried to see how my cats would react to it. And there was a little bit of recognition, especially when I went meow. but other than that, you know, not so much with the games.
Fair enough then.
Yes.
All right. And well, if anyone knows, because I know there's a Zelda type cat game out there. If you know it, hit us up. Hit Anthony up. Don't hit me.
I feel like there's like a Link to the Past looking one.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. No, well, yeah. It's out there.
Yes. I need a cat Zelda game. So I'll take all recommendations. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So with that, I pulled up, we actually pulled up some stuff. We're going to get into news actually pretty early in this episode because apparently Anthony's got a lot of it.
There's a lot of news and it's going to take up the show.
It will. But before we get to that, before we get to Game of the Week, I came across this this article from the greatest call letters for any news organization or news channel, I should say, out there. KOIN, Coin. They are out of Oregon. So okay. I believe I could be wrong on that, but in any event, yes, Portland. So either Oregon or Maine, but it's an interesting, very interesting article with the most interesting title. Oregon tops list as most retro game obsessed state in the US, which I don't think anyone would have saw that because I don't think anything comes out of Oregon.
Well, you know what? I guess stoners spend their money on things more than, you know, pot.
It's either that or Bend, Oregon has the last Blockbuster. So
it's the Blockbuster.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
They're pimping everything out.
Yeah, it comes down to the Blockbuster.
So this article out of Portland, Oregon from KOIN, it was a study from guidestrats.com. Good luck trying to find the actual study itself, because I found other studies, but I couldn't find this one. Mm-hmm. But at least the article gives some good stuff. Just quoting the article here, the study tracked Google searches for 100 retro gaming related terms, 200 retro games, and 20 retro game consoles to see what states were searching the most. And Oregon came out on top. The breakdown.
Surprising.
So I guess, again, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I would think it would be I would think it would be a state with like a major metropolitan city or more major metropolitan cities, like a New York or a California.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
I guess New Yorkers have other things to do.
Well, we're busy. We're busy people.
Again, quoting the article, according to the study, there are 2,437 retro gaming topic searches per 100,000 Oregon residents each month on average. I do need to say, unfortunately, doesn't say when this study was, but the article was from this month. So, each month. So that is 51% above the national average with a total of 104,698 searches. The top 10 most searched retro games, according to this. Most searched retro games.
Ooh, hold on. Can I guess?
Well, I'm going to start like a good countdown. I'm going to start from 10 to 1.
Right. but I was gonna 10, guess.
I think, is added. No, I know. I'm just saying 10 is gonna be a tough one to guess. So
okay. So retro games.
Retro.
All right, Mario's gotta be on there.
Actually, no.
In top 10?
Top 10. Remember, this is top 10 Oregon.
Oh, top 10 Oregon. Let's
but
see.
Still, even with that.
I was gonna say, like, I would think Zelda would be on there, Super Smash. Like, those are like some of the most popular.
One of those games has three spots on the top 10 list.
Okay.
That you just mentioned.
Okay. What else would be on there that's retro? Like, my brain, and you know what? My brain's not working this one. Would Sonic, I don't think Sonic would be on there, maybe.
No.
Anyway, hit your top 10. Let's see.
Number
let's
10, Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Nice.
I mean, it's a great fun game to play, but who knew they would purchase that?
Well, I'll tell you why that's on the top 10. It's one of the most well-known Nintendo 64 games because it was like the only, or one of the only N64 games that was like mature, like had a mature audience, and it came out at the end of the N64's life cycle, so not too many people owned it. I remember buying it right at the end.
I don't know if I've ever originally owned it, because I only remember playing it on the Rare Replay.
No, I bought it right at the end, and correct me if I'm wrong, do I still have it? It might be one of those ones that like disappeared on me.
Disappear.
I still have it. I still have it loose. I don't have the box, but okay. I still own my original copy of Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Number 9, joining its Rare brethren, Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Number 8, GTA 3.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Number 7, The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, okay.
I still cannot get into that. I want to.
I love that.
Number 6, Dance Dance Revolution.
Huh.
A little DDR over there in Oregon.
What, in Oregon?
Yeah, this is all Oregon.
Maybe instead of the munchies, they get they get antsy.
Number 5, the remake of Resident Evil 1.
Only the remake specifically.
The remake. Okay. We got back-to-back Zelda games. Number 4, Majora's Mask.
Okay.
Number 3 being Ocarina of Time.
All right, awesome.
Number 2, which this I can see with some recent games coming out, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, that makes sense.
And the number 1 top searched retro game in Oregon, Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Okay. Well, the GTAs aren't surprising because I think everybody's been playing GTA 5 forever, so they want to go find something else.
And then on top of that, a little more breakdown, their most searched retro consoles.
Hmm.
So this is
okay.
It's an interesting one. I think there's one on here when I get to it. I'm kind of shocked. I don't know why. Number 10 is the original Xbox.
Okay.
Number 9 is the Atari 2600.
Oh.
Which makes sense because it's been a lot between, all joking aside, the VCS, the minis, you know, a lot of that stuff coming out. So
yep.
Number 8, this one I'm kind of shocked at, the Commodore 64.
Hey, gotta love the Commodore 64, man.
Like we do, but like the younger generation, I feel like just doesn't know what it's all about.
Clearly, to constitute
a large, you know, search.
Well, you also got to remember these are retro game searches, so it may not be a younger audience that are doing all of these.
Still, there's a ton of consoles besides 64.
Of course.
Would you even consider the 64, Commodore 64, a console? I consider it a computer.
I think its original. I feel like its original intent though was to play games.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would lean console, even though it's like a computer.
If John or Jonathan are listening, let us know your thought on that one.
Yeah.
Number 7, the Game Boy.
Okay.
Makes sense to me. Number 6, the Super Nintendo.
Makes sense.
Number 5, the Genesis.
Also makes
sense. Number 4, the PS1.
Ah, I thought the PS1 would be higher.
So what would you say the top 3 is then?
Well, I would think NES is up there. PS2, and I'm trying to think of what you haven't mentioned. Did you mention N64?
Not yet.
All right, those three.
All right.
NES, PS2, and 64.
The Sega Mark III, the Channel F. No, I'm kidding. Number 3 is the NES.
Okay.
Number 2 is the N64. And number one is the PS2.
Boom.
So
I didn't put them in any order.
No, of course not. You almost did, though.
I almost did. I would have said NES was one, number one, though.
I would have thought maybe the N64. But then again, looking at the top 10 games, I should have thought definitely
PS2.
PS2, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, even though we don't have the rest of the list, Oregon was first. Number two
was
New York.
Okay.
With an average of 1,980 retro gaming topic searches per 100,000 residents.
Wow, we're getting stat heavy.
And number three, three, four, and five. No, three is Nevada.
Oh.
Followed by Washington State.
All right.
Then California.
So the whole West Coast is
a lot with the West Coast. Yeah.
Top five West Coast. Okay. I can see that. Like the only other ones I would think would be up there, I would think Florida's up there in the top 10 somewhere.
Maybe. I mean, I wish I could find the list, but I can't. But
I can tell you what's close to the bottom, Alaska, because I went searching for retro games there.
Well, funny you mention Alaska, because now that I deep dove into these kind of searches and these lists and everything, and I found a couple other, we're not going to deep dive into it, but I found some other lists. This one is from, I just want to make sure I got the list correct. Who did this one? This is from Insight Pest Solutions, which I find hysterical, but that's the website, Insight Pest. And it's got a lot of, breaks down each category per state.
Okay.
Like most popular video games during the coronavirus. Oh, I didn't even see that last time.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I didn't know this was a coronavirus list. A lot of people were playing Fortnite.
A lot of people were learning Fortnite.
Yeah, basically. Fortnite and GTA 5. I guess there's just nothing else to do. Well, there was nothing else to do.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, those are two games that you can definitely get your aggression out on, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to go on a murder spree in GTA 5. And same thing with Fortnite, basically.
So like I said, there's different topics, but the one I want to hit here is the most popular video games of all time in every state. We're not going to list every state, but the most popular video games of all time in every state. I'll put the graphic up on the video so you'll see it.
Okay.
Let's pick out a couple states that we're familiar with. Obviously, New York.
Pick all the ones I've lived in.
Yeah, babe, that's what I'm going to do. So New York. Do you want to take a venture just to guess?
You're
never going to get
most played game.
The most popular video game of all time.
I'm guessing it's going to be something like a Fortnite. So I'll say Fortnite.
It's actually Uncharted 2.
Really?
Very weird.
Huh.
California. What do you think California is? What'd you play in California?
I played a lot of Dead by Daylight. That's not going to be the answer.
No.
GTA 5?
Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
A lot of Street Fighter 2 in California. Okay. A very violent state, apparently. Florida. Florida.
There's
like a jillion games to pick from. I know
I know. I was gonna say which GTA.
This is a Genesis game.
Oh, it's a Genesis game. Mortal Kombat?
Sonic. The first Sonic.
Sonic. Okay.
So just skimming through this list, a lot of Sonic, Detroit, Florida, Georgia enjoy their Sonic. Let's see. I'm trying to find some old school stuff.
I'm surprised not and like not a lot of Mario on there.
I was just gonna get into that. The only Mario I came across was my geography's terrible because I gotta look up which one this is. Virginia enjoyed Super Mario Brothers. Oh,
interesting.
Our friends in Iowa love Super Mario Land.
Oh, good for them.
Good for them. Kansas enjoys Super Mario World.
Okay, good for them.
And otherwise, we got a bunch of some Wii Sports, couple Mega Mans, and West Virginia loves The Sims, so they'll enjoy when the movie comes out.
All right, very cool.
So, and then
starring Margot Robbie.
Yeah, basically. And then finally, with this list, the most popular video game franchise of all time in each state from 2004 to the present. And again, I'm just going to hit our states that we enjoyed.
Yeah, go for it.
New York, shockingly enough, Mega Man.
Huh.
I would have thought maybe like a Super Mario Brothers. Talking about like it, or actually Pokemon, really, I would have thought.
I was just going to say, there's been no Pokemon mentioned.
No, not really. California, Street Fighter, loves. And again, these are the series, the franchise. The whole, almost the entire South, loves Sonic.
Love Sonic.
Yeah. Florida
well,
loves
you
them.
Gotta go fast through those states.
Speaking of which, Gran Turismo is Florida's favorite.
There you go.
And
uh-oh.
No, I just gotta double check this one. Give me 2 seconds. Hold on, where is it? What state are you? Oh my god, I'm terrible with. Oh my god, what state?
You don't know your geography?
No, you know what's funny? I hate to say it, but you know, there's like three squared shaped states over there by Utah.
Montana, North
No,
or South Dakota.
No, not over there, further south. It's either Wyoming or
Wyoming, Kansas, Colorado.
And it's, hold on. Obviously, this is where the edit comes
yeah,
in.
You're, as I say, you're struggling.
Yeah, no. Where the f is it on the list? Oh, there it is. So, funny enough, Wyoming's most popular franchise, mm-hmm. the Oregon Trail.
That's awesome.
Where Oregon turned its back on the Oregon Trail for Angry Birds.
Ah.
There we go. Oh, I know. I want that.
I love this.
Oh, my God.
I love that I have this in my collection. I've never played it, but, you know. Does it still work?
Oh. Oh, did you have, like, a test on it? So, what kind of graphics is that? Is that, like, legit computer graphics?
Yeah, these are the original graphics.
That, all right, now I have to buy that.
Yes. So, all right, I'm glad it still works. It's never coming out of its package.
So. No, you're a better man than I am.
Well, I have. Well, we won't get into that. I have Oregon Trail. I have Oregon Trail, and like other way. In fact, I could probably play it on my Commodore 64. I'm sure I have a disc.
I need to play. I need to get that little guy now.
Yeah.
All right. So. And there's actually some of the stuff we might save over the next few weeks, maybe just touch on some of this stuff because there's other lists that are some wild stuff. I mean, just naming the list, top rated game developed in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just gonna name one. What's the most random one I can find?
I have no idea.
Chile. Their most top rated game is The Internal Cylinder.
Okay.
With an 82% rating.
Is that going to be game of the week?
Maybe. But this one breaks it down to the Americas, Europe, Asia.
Well, it sounds like a fun little site you
really,
found
yeah,
that can
this is pretty cool.
Easily eat up a lot of time.
And trust me, that's what we need. So I'm going to pin that. And I'm going to close that.
We'll share that link.
No, we can't share it yet because we got to do these over the next few weeks.
Oh.
we can't give away the milk.
Why not?
When the cow's for free? What?
Yeah, no. We can give away the milk. No, we can give away the milk now. You know why? Because now it's almond milk. We don't give away cows.
It's the most disgusting thing you have ever served me when I visited you in California.
I know, that was awesome.
Milk should not come
from an almond.
I was gonna say something else, but it didn't sound PG.
Oh yeah, I know what you were gonna say. I'm sorry. I love almond milk.
Oh, all right.
Sorry. Just awesome.
I don't even think it's good for you. I think research is coming out on all that stuff.
Well, it definitely does not have vitamin D, but that's okay. There's a pill for that.
There's a pill for everything.
As I know. I've taken it for years. So.
All right. So hopefully you enjoyed some of these lists, and yeah, I think we'll point out some of these as the time goes on.
Yeah, we'll get listy.
And where can they find us if they have their own lists?
Well, yeah, if you don't want to talk about lists, but let us talk about lists, and you want to check us out, you can find us on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram @retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter @retrogamerspod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and Spotify @RetroGamersPodcast, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes. And one more thing before we move on to the game of the week.
Yes.
This is kind of a piggyback from last week because I saw some comments. We always love when you comment.
What?
Uh-oh. What's the link one? He wants to play a game?
Oh, he's talking to me.
Would you like to play a game?
He wants to play more Tears of the Kingdom. I want Tears of the Kingdom.
I
want to
finish
dun,
the
dun,
recipes.
Dun, 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 dun. This is Ganondorf right here. That's what I should have named you. I should have named you Ganon.
Too many syllables for a cat name.
I know. He's such a monster.
We do love when you comment on the YouTube page, on our posts on social media. We definitely read them. Trust me when we tell you, we definitely read them. I want to give two shout outs. One from last week's episode on YouTube. John Story 4807 actually helping me out, because I broke out. I showed last week, but I actually now opened the Atari 400 Mini. I love it.
Looking good.
Yeah, none of the buttons work, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy that.
And then what I did was I invested in a very tiny thumb drive. Teeny tiny thumb drive.
Nice.
Because you can load games on here. And John Story 4807 gave a list, another list, all about lists to this week, of some games that he suggested to add to this system. Because you can add, oh my God, what can you do? You can add the Atari 400, 800, XLXE, and 5200 games to
it. Yes.
I already added one game, of course, Ms. Pac-Man,
Very
5200
important.
Edition. And so it's very simple to add games to this. And it plays like that.
Perfect.
Amazing.
And you know that John is the John from the show.
Oh, that's that John. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
That's John who was on the show a couple weeks ago.
I didn't put two and two together on that one. I apologize. Yep. So, hi, John. So some of the games that he recommended, Atari Blast, Hero, Dark Chambers, Into the Eagle's Nest, which I never heard of, but it just sounds amazing.
Never heard of that either.
Montezuma's Revenge.
That sounds like a Louis Gossett Jr. movie. Rest in peace,
Lou. I was just gonna say, didn't he just die?
Yeah, that's why he's on. That's
Wait,
why
into
he's,
the
into the Eagle's Nest.
Okay,
no, he did like Iron Eagle.
Yes, yeah. Yes. No, because I thought you said it after I said Montezuma's Revenge. I'm like, what movie did he do this? And then
Montezuma's Revenge is a great game.
They actually, I think, just re-released it for modern consoles, like the original version.
Yeah,
I know it's on the Atari VCS. And a game I forgot, I don't remember what system it's on, but Goonies. I'm guessing the 5200 maybe.
You know what? When he wrote Goonies, I had no idea that it was on the Atari at all. So
yeah, that's
so when he pointed that out, I was like, oh, I was like, the only one I know is the one on the Famicom and then the one on the NES.
Yeah.
So now I have to look it up.
I should have just clicked on John's name here. There's his picture right there. Should put two and two together.
Yeah, the Atari XL had a Goonies game.
Well, he also, I believe it was the same John, that also pointed out that, you know, I made a good choice with the Atari 400 Mini. So what I thought were two different shout-outs are actually kind of the same shout-out.
Yeah, so when, I was going to say, once he vouched for that, now I can get it.
How dare you?
You know, I don't trust you. You buy everything.
Also got. I don't buy everything, but here's my 500 Mini. And here's my Atari, my Commodore 64. Oh, guess who just got Atari 64 Mini? Atari. Commodore 64 Mini for his birthday.
Who?
Our good friend Frank.
Nice.
Who loves?
Well, he loves the Commodore 64. So that was a great gift for him.
And I'm waiting for him to call me to figure out how to hook it up.
Oh, you know he will.
Because all it is just plugging into the TV and running with it. Frank, we love you.
Aw, he's going to beat you up now.
Probably will, bully. Happy 50th, Frank. Happy belated birthday.
Happy retro birthday, Frank.
All right, let's do it. Let's get into some game of the week.
Game of the week.
Oh my God, and such a good game of the week that was randomly picked.
I know. I was a little disappointed that of all the games on the wheel, it stopped on a Mario game, but that's my own fault for putting a Mario game on there.
It's a great game.
No, I know, but Mario games are like games everybody's played. Like when I pick a game of the week, I try to aim at games that aren't super common. So
you're better than me. I just picked something completely random off the top of my head.
Yeah, and that's fine. Last week I just decided, you know, I was going to spin a wheel.
You're going to let AI do it. AI is going to kill us. You know that, right?
It is. And you know what? It's right. One of these days I'll spin the wheel and it'll just say death. And I'm like, okay, that laser comes out of the computer. So last week the wheel stopped on Mario Kart Wii. Which is a little ironic considering it's a driving game and there's a wheel. and the reason why I had put that game on there is because I had never played Mario Kart Wii.
Okay.
So that's why I put that specific one on there. It might have been the only Mario Kart on a regular console I haven't played, not handheld.
Okay. Yeah.
There are a lot of handheld ones I haven't played.
As
so two. So Larry, I know you've played Mario Kart Wii.
I have not in a long time, but
not
I have.
A long time, but since I chose game of the week, you get to go first.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Mario Kart Wii?
I haven't played Mario Kart Wii in forever, but when I obviously I went to put it in and I wanted to play the way God intended it to play. I know I have somewhere. Yep, there it is. Mario Kart.
There it is.
Other than me, I do not have the case anymore.
Ah, with the instruction booklet.
Even better.
It's white too, so it doesn't show really
no,
well on video.
It's
like,
but as you can see, Mario and Luigi there holding the Wii steering wheels.
Yes.
The game originally came with the Wii steering wheel.
Yes, it did.
Which is very cool. And all you did was just put the Wiimote in the middle of the steering wheel. It's just a piece of plastic. That's all it was.
Yep.
And that's how I had it. And I know I wanted to drag it out to show on the show, but I know I still have the Wii wheel. I just don't know where it is. This is what I love about the Wii. There's so many different ways, controller-wise, to play. Either with the Wiimote just sideways, with the Wii steering wheel, the Wiimote and the nunchuck. You can use a GameCube controller, or you can use the classic controller, which I ended up using, which still piggybacked to the Wiimote. My nice. Gorgeous GoldenEye.
Very, very nice.
Pro controller. It's funny, for playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for so long, I mean, we've been playing it for years now.
Yeah.
And there are some,
like,
you know,
7 years now? More if you had it on the Wii U.
And I had it on the Wii U, so yes,
so
definitely
I.
More. But so to go backwards is always a fun thing to do. Like, it's one thing to play an old game, but it's also another thing to go backwards in a franchise when you're playing a recent game, hence my jumping all over the place with Metroid.
Yep.
But the game still graphically for me still holds up, still looks beautiful, especially for the Wii. The controls, standard controls as far as once you're playing the game. But like there's some things that are missing that I'm trying to do in Mario Kart Wii that aren't there yet that were in Deluxe.
Okay.
Like when you jump off, like when you hop off a ramp or something, if you bounce, you get a little more air or
yes.
a little more speed, I should say.
Yes.
That really doesn't happen in this game.
Nope.
But I kept trying to do it anyway. And I some of the courses I was, when I say familiar with, meaning I never really forgot about them because they're in Deluxe.
Right.
In fact, 11. 11 courses from Wii are in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that.
It was that many. And
that's a lot.
The other thing is, so going back when I'm playing something, I'm like, oh, I know this course. This is easy. Mario Kart Wii is very unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, Mario Kart 8, and I don't mean to keep comparing it, but I have to because it's the only other game I've been playing recently in the series. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I'm pretty, like, I can blow through all the tracks and everything. I'm pretty much coming in first place a lot. Like, not in the 150 or the 250, but still, like, 50 and 100 CCs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This game I'm struggling to stay in first place, and I'm playing on like 50 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very weird. One course I have to point out, because on the Switch it is a piece of cake, on the Wii it is the most devastating course to run for me. That was Mushroom Gorge, the part where you're in a cave and then you have to jump these
on the mushrooms, yes,
to bounce off of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get the timing down to bounce off. And every time I go off of it, my cart just steers to the left and I just fall into the pit. And what's bad about this one, and I'm not complaining, I just find it funny. Like when you fall into a pit, it's not like just Lakaku comes around, picks you up and drops you off for 3 coins. Like it almost like the course almost resets. It feels like,
yeah, it's
and
weird.
Like, I'm in the back of the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like if you fall, you're like almost automatically guaranteed last place.
It's a
like,
game over, yeah.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, going into this, it was very innovative because going into the Wii version, I was pretty much used also to the handheld versions. Because Mario Kart 7, Mario Kart DS, those were like the ones I was playing a lot besides Double Dash.
Mm-hmm.
This game introduced a lot of firsts for the series, which is really cool. The first time we saw bikes in the series.
Okay.
Was in this game.
Cool.
And there was two different types of bikes. It was like dirt, and I'm having the title wrong, but it was like a dirt bike and a sports bike, and they each handled differently. So not only do you have like the speed adjustment of each model of cart or bike, but the bikes react differently as well. So you had to get used to that, which is all part of the game. New power-ups. We got the giant mushroom for the first time in this one. Cool. We got the very annoying POW block in this one.
Oh, yes.
And then we got the Thundercloud, which, like a lot of power-ups in Mario Kart, and I don't mean to sound cocky when I say this, if you're not in last place, you don't really ever use these power-ups.
No.
I'm honestly not 100% sure what the Thundercloud does specifically, because I never really had it selected. Like, it was never mine, like, because I'm usually
I was going to say, I didn't get it when I played.
Yeah. And then a bunch of first characters as well, such as Rosalina, Funky Kong, Dry Bowser. They all made their debut in this game. I just loved going back and playing it. It was just fun to play those courses that weren't available in other games. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also what I had fun with separately, just system-wise, is I played it on the TV. I play Wii games on my Wii U because I don't have my Wii hooked up. But for fun, I actually tried playing the game on the Wii U gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't just use a gamepad and, you know, play it like this for Wii game. It actually has a sensor bar on top for the Wiimote.
Yep.
So basically, I just have to set it down on the thing and play it. That's a very difficult thing to do. It's one thing to play like Mario Kart Super Circuit or Mario Kart DS, because those games are designed for the small screen. But when you do have a normal size screen, shrunk down to a small screen, that's a little tough. Mm-hmm. Unlike your dumb reasoning for not having playing Game Boys, that one is tough when you have a normal size screen shrunk
screen
down.
Is too small.
So, but when the game is designed for a small screen, it's some of the best ever.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I just, like I said, had a blast with it. I'm definitely going to continue because I didn't realize as well, there's a lot I have not done in this game one because I still have my save.
Oh, nice.
So I have a lot to unlock. Well, and
I have everything to unlock.
So, but that's where I'm at. Again, just great nostalgia. Yeah. Just funny enough how the courses were harder on Wii than they are on the Switch. Yeah. I find very weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just the evolution of a game. Like, they change difficulty levels. Maybe Nintendo figured out, you know what, Mario Kart Wii might have been a little too tough. Let's kind of scale back
a little bit. Well, they did do that. There was a whole outcry for Coconut Mall. Where I forgot what but like something happened in the Wii version that they changed on the Switch version, and everyone was like, no, put it back. Something moves or something doesn't move. Yeah. I forgot what it was. And then Nintendo's like, okay. And they worked on it and they updated the course. So, but nevertheless, very cool, very fun. And now I got to like de-evolve my gameplay to be able to play Wii compared to playing on a Switch.
Nice. All right. Cool. My experience was fun to start with, because I also, like you, I have my Wii U hooked up, so I don't have my Wii hooked up, so I play everything off of the Wii U. So I turn on my Wii U and I can't get an image on my TV.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh. I was like, years ago I had a similar problem and I sent my Wii U to Nintendo to fix.
How many game systems have you sent back to the manufacturer?
I don't know. But
I know three.
I don't know. But I sent it to Nintendo and I had to pay for it to get fixed.
Oh well, yeah, ain't doing it for free.
It was the same exact problem where it wouldn't show up on my screen. They fixed it and showed up on my screen. Great. Now when I turned it on, and again, like I could have sworn like I've turned it on recently and it worked fine. Mm-hmm. But this morning, for some reason, turned it on, would not show up on my TV. Swapped out the HDMI cable, nothing doing. And these are Nintendo HDMIs too. Yeah. So could not get it on the TV.
I feel like you have this issue with the Pi Mega as well.
I did. I did. So and maybe it's a TV. I don't know. But no, that was on multiple TVs with the Pi Mega. But so I wound up playing it on the gamepad. I was literally like sitting on the floor with the gamepad in the dock,
yeah,
and my Wii remote, and not the controller one, the OG,
just the Wiimote, yeah,
Wiimote. Which, by the way, just a little PSA I want to announce for those of you who do have your retro consoles and your retro controllers and all that stuff. Make sure you do not have the old batteries sitting in them,
oh.
because
got some those, caramel in there.
No, one of the batteries did leak, but it did not affect the controller, so I threw them out. But then it promptly reminded me of I got to go through all of my controllers and take batteries out.
Yeah,
because I don't play. Yeah, because I don't play these enough to keep the batteries in them.
No, I hear you. I did that recently as well.
Yeah, so yeah. I gotta go through all my controllers.
That's why I keep thinking about buying just like rechargeable batteries.
Do rechargeable
batteries even leak? I don't know if they leak.
I have no idea. Yeah, but the controllers with the little power, the rechargeable.
Yeah, like
power
the
supply.
Power. Yeah, the power bricks.
Yeah, like the way like the 360 yeah. has it. And stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So So definitely do not keep your batteries in there. So you know, I sat on the floor, played on the gamepad screen. So I was
like
playing
you
on
just moved into your house.
Yeah, basically. So I was playing it on a small screen. But I will say this. I did play through Mushroom Cup because again, I have nothing unlocked. First time I'm actually putting this game in and playing it. I played through Mushroom Cup. It was a lot. I have to say, it was a lot of fun. It was, and to your point, it was nice to go back in a series and play something. Now, and granted, because I was using the Wii remote or the Wiimote, whatever you call the stupid thing.
Wiimote. That's what Nintendo called
Wiimote,
it.
Wiimote, right? I'm not comfortable with the Wiimote because I'm not used to playing with the controller like that.
It's like a traditional controller.
No, no, no. Oh.
How were you playing? Oh, were you playing with the nunchuck?
I was playing with the nunchuck
attached. Oh, never mind. Okay, okay.
I was playing with the nunchuck attached, so I'm sitting there using the nunchuck.
That could be
like,
weird, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, how do you slide? How do you jump? I have no idea what I'm supposed to press. So never figured that out.
You had the manual.
I just turned it on and played. Who reads manuals?
I agree with that 100%.
How many people were dumbfounded when they found out that the second player in Duck Hunt can control the ducks? And it's sitting right there in the instruction booklet all of these years.
And that's one of our highest watched videos on our YouTube page.
I know. So, yeah. But anyway, so I just, you know, so whatever. I couldn't figure out that part. Yeah. So I just played it straight. But it was really super fun. Even on 50cc, it was challenging.
Yeah.
That Mushroom Gorge thing, I did fall off once. And it was extra dramatic for some reason. It's just extra dramatic when you fall. In this game. But again, you know, I played through it. It was a lot of fun. I did enjoy it. The other thing that I wanted to try, I didn't want to just look at the circuits. I wanted to see what else the game had because, you know, it wasn't just all about, I'm thinking back to when this first came out. And the fact that, you know, it had the online component must have been awesome. Yeah, obviously, it's not there anymore.
It was, yeah. Yeah, that shut down anymore. In 2014.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah. 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years. But but the online component must have been great. I went over and played I went into the battle mode.
Okay.
Because, you know, I loved battle mode was one of the best things on the N64.
Oh my God. We had so much fun doing that. Yeah.
It was so much fun. So I wanted to check out battle mode. So I played a round of, battle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, the board was Chomp Chomp Wheel. which was actually really cool because it was like, you know, literally just, it was a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wheel stadium and there was a chomp chomp going around it as you're battling.
Yes,
but the other thing that was interesting about it is that it's not, and maybe there's an option for it, but when I joined when I did the battle mode, it's not every man for himself battle mode. It's two teams.
That might be in the options. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a team battle. So, and I don't remember if it was like four, I think it was like 4-on-4 or something like that. So whatever. But battle mode was like really fun. And I'm like, wow, I was like, I haven't played a really cool battle mode like this in a while. And even on Mario Kart 8, I haven't really delved into the battle modes much.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah. But the battle mode on this one was great. And then I played, there was another option in battle mode called Coin Runners.
Oh yes.
So threw that on and I was like, let's see how this plays out. And I played, something pier, whatever it was, but like, it was just a lot of fun because the object is two teams, whoever has the most coins wins. And then you can use weapons to hit other people and they lose all their coins and then you can collect them.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun. And the board I picked, like the pier, the water slowly was rising on the board. So the board was getting smaller, but then another part opened up. So you went on the roof type of thing or the next level. Just like super fun. And I was just like, wow. I was like, okay. I was like, this is definitely a game I missed out on. Because I would have really liked to play this like online and with, you know, with you guys. But of course I did not have a Wii. And again, probably one of the bigger surprises in the Mario Kart franchise for me, because like I've gone back and played the Super Nintendo one and it's rough. It's rough. Granted, it was the very first one,
Yeah, I can see that.
but just going back and playing it, it's just rough to kind of get used to again.
I get it.
You know, 64 to me was always the pinnacle. Like I just thought like they took everything from the Super Nintendo one and just turned it up to 100. But I gotta say the
Or
Wii
64.
one, what?
Or 64.
Yeah. But I gotta say the Wii one to me was just like super fun.
Okay.
Absolutely super fun. Loved it. Granted, I still haven't played Double Dash,
Are you serious?
even though I have it.
Good Lord,
So
brother.
I gotta play Double Dash for comparison's sake now.
I think Double Dash is going to change your opinion on your favorite game. Because to me, Double Dash is the best
Yeah,
Mario
that's
Kart
what
game.
everybody says.
Yeah.
So I really need to pop that in. But I gotta say, like I wasn't expecting it to be as fun as it was because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I mean, literally covers
Oh,
every
yeah.
Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
So I was just like, so I was like all I was all in for 8 Deluxe still being like the best. But like I have to say, like this was a very good surprise for me. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did.
All
But I
right.
did. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yep.
So enjoyed some old school Mario
Yep.
Kart Wii.
And for
And
anybody out there who played Mario Kart Wii this week because it was a game of the week, let us know. What
yes,
were your
definitely.
thoughts? What was it like going back to it or playing it for the first time like me?
Absolutely. And with that,
It
it's
is your
now
turn.
my choice. And yeah, mine is completely random. Mine is so random that I thought I had it on Genesis, but I actually have it on the NES. But really, this game is available on the NES, Genesis, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, and it's basically the same game. Nothing really changes, short of the graphics.
Okay.
So any version that you have, feel free to play. But I am selecting a great puzzle game, one that I enjoy immensely. I originally had it on the Super Nintendo, but when everything got lost, I only was able to find it on the NES originally. Krusty's Funhouse,
Oh, wow. Okay.
or Krusty's Super Funhouse if it's on the Super Nintendo.
Okay. Very nice. I remember playing that game. I enjoyed it because I was a big fan of Lemmings. Actually, I played Krusty's Funhouse first. Lemmings, I didn't pick up until I got a PC in the mid-90s, and I loved that game.
Oh, me too. I think everyone's first game that you bought separately, other than Solitaire or Minesweep. Oh. Side note, completely unrelated, but Minesweep, there's a new Minesweep game on the Switch that is a 1,000 by 1,000 board. I think it's
Wow.
a 1,000,000 blocks
That's awesome.
that you play through.
Okay,
It's
I need to play that because I love
only like
Minesweeper.
$4 or under $4. So
All right, I might have to pick that up.
I just saw it this morning at 3:40.
I still have a gift card on there that I haven't finished using, so.
Well, there you go. Like I said, it's under $4. So,
Yep. All right, I'll add that to my collection.
all right. With that, well, let's get into it, folks. Let's get
Oh
into
my
some
gosh. This
news.
was supposed to be a news-heavy episode, and I gotta go through these quickly.
No, you don't have to go through them quickly.
Oh my
It's
gosh.
okay.
I don't want people sitting here for 2.5 hours.
They're not going to. It's a podcast. They can stop it and start it later.
Oh, you can?
Or
Didn't know
I just
that.
edit it down.
Yes.
Or I can make two episodes out of this.
Well, let's just get into it. All right, retro news.
That
First,
might
we're
actually
gonna
work, though.
go. It might. We're gonna go into. We're gonna. Well, no, not with news. This is this week's news. Retro news. So we have retro birthdays. I'll go through them quickly. There are two. One actually brought up earlier. Came out in 1999 this week, 25 years old on the Nintendo 64. It is the 25th retro birthday of the original Super Smash Brothers.
I hated that game.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't enjoy the first one either. So
Did
much
you
so that
have it?
I did.
Okay.
So, but so much so that I didn't buy Melee, and Melee was awesome.
I heard, yeah, man, yeah.
So,
I didn't enjoy Super Smash Brothers until the Wii U, actually.
yes,
Yeah.
yeah. I love the story mode. What was it, Smash
Oh,
Bros.
yeah.
For the new one? Ultimate is
Oh,
it like
Ultimate is
that?
fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, Ultimate's amazing. So happy 25th retro birthday, Super Smash Brothers.
Nope.
And last but not least, for the retro birthdays, this game is a recent favorite of mine, and I know it's a favorite of yours, Larry.
Well, now it is.
Yeah, now, right now it is for both of us. We are talking about the 30th retro birthday for Super Metroid.
Oh, gosh.
The US release, of course.
Top five game of all
time.
Top 10 lists all over the place.
Yes.
The game is phenomenal.
It really is.
And yeah, 30 years. Good Lord.
30 years. 30 years.
And I just played it for the first time a year ago or 2 years ago.
No, same with me.
Yeah.
Same with me. And I absolutely loved it. Loved every second of it.
Absolutely.
Metroid Dread got me to go back and play that.
Me and you. I don't know why Rich didn't talk us into it sooner.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of his favorite games. All right. Moving on to other news. You brought up Minesweeper, and I honestly thought you were going to bring up what I was just about to report from Retro News this week.
Uh-oh.
But there is a new game coming to Steam.
Okay.
And it is called Tetris Sweeper. It is a it's a Tetris Minesweeper combo.
My head almost exploded trying to figure that one out.
Yes, it is. So it's literally the Tetris board with the pieces falling.
Yeah.
But when the pieces fall, I think they change into the Minesweeper blocks.
When you create a row.
Yes.
Oh my God. And at the same time, you got to play Minesweeper.
So at the same, you have to play Minesweeper as the Tetris pieces are falling. So Tetris Sweeper.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at it now.
Yep. And it's going to be coming to Steam. And I saw this and I'm like, yeah, I need this game.
This looks highly amazing, but very oofa.
Yep. Let's see. Developer Curtis Jones.
Yeah, Curtis Jones Interactive. Yeah.
Yep. And he calls it an addictive and mind-bending fusion of two classic puzzle games, offering a refreshing twist that challenges your strategic thinking and reflexes in a seamless blend of block stacking and mind sweeping.
As the pieces fall, the pieces still fall while you do the mind
while you're playing
part.
Minesweeper. Yes.
Oh my God. Have to get this.
Yeah, you gotta do two things at once. So this is gonna be available on Steam.
This is awesome.
Definitely on my list of things to buy.
Absolutely.
Until he gets sued and he has to pull it. So that's the other thing. Like, I'm gonna grab this like first day.
Yeah, oh totally.
Before it gets pulled. So Tetris Sweeper. I thought that was that was just an awesome bit of news.
That's amazing.
Okay. I sent this bit of news to you guys. This might have been the one I sent to you at 3 o'clock this morning, if I remember correctly. But more news in the animated television series world.
Oh yeah.
Golden Axe is getting a 10-episode animated series on Comedy Central.
That's awesome.
Which sounds awesome because Golden Axe to me is like when you talk about the Genesis, the Sega Genesis, it's one of the first games I think of.
It is,
Genesis, because I absolutely love the Golden Axe series. And the fact that it's coming to Comedy Central just sounds right because even though the game doesn't play like a funny game, I can see it. See it as a comedy.
It absolutely can lend itself to that.
Yeah.
And what helps is for anyone who's watched Sonic for Hire, which is amazing. It's on YouTube. It's hysterical. And one of the characters on the show is Gilius Thunderhead, the little green guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like this like womanizing drunk on the show, on that show. He's not going to be like that here. But he is one of the best, one of my favorite animated characters of all time. And this is coming from Sonic for Hire.
Yeah.
I cry whenever I watch him. But that helps me like think again of this game in like this animated goofiness that it can lend itself to. I'm looking forward to this. So I think this would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
And if hopefully Sega has their hand in it, because if Sega, you know, what they're doing with the Sonic movies and with Knuckles coming out, and that already looks amazing. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. I didn't realize it was 10 episodes. So that's cool.
Yeah, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And just a quick blurb. In a hilarious and loving homage to Sega's 1989 video game series Golden Axe, follow veteran warriors Axe Battler, Tyrus Flair, and Gilius Thunderhead as they once again battle to save Euria from the evil giant Death Adder, who just won't seem to stay dead. Fortunately, this time they have the inexperienced and underprepared Hampton Squibb on their side. So
of course you have to have an original character.
You have to have an original character. But not only that, but I really hope Axe Battler is his, like, I hope they call him Axe, because you know, it's just like, I want to see a lot of jokes off of his name, because his name is
Oh,
Axe Battler.
that's the greatest 80s action name of all time.
Yeah, it's just insane.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this series.
That's
Like,
gonna be fun.
this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And sticking with the movie news type stuff. I don't know if we mentioned this one last week. I think that announced, I know I sent you the article on it, but I think it was announced after we were recorded. But the voice of Shadow
Oh yeah, this was
in
announced later,
Sonic,
yeah.
yeah, so we didn't talk about this. The voice of Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog 3 has been
I
announced
love this.
and is none other than the absolute legend Keanu Reeves. And I think it's
Whoa.
perfect. I
Oh,
think it's
I think
perfect.
it's I think he is made for Shadow. I
Yeah.
think he's gonna do an amazing job
Yeah.
with Shadow.
Yeah, this is gonna fit so well. Like, the only thing I enjoyed about Toy Story 4, because I was not a fan of Toy Story 4, was hearing Keanu Reeves voice Duke Kaboom in that movie.
I forgot he was Duke Kaboom, and I saw it. I think I saw that. That was the one
Yeah.
when the bear tried killing everybody.
No, it was the third one.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I didn't see
No,
four.
the fourth one is
Oh,
when
that's he
where they
gave his
find
toys
Bo
away.
Peep.
Yes,
Yeah,
yes,
they
yes.
find Bo
Oh,
Peep
yes.
in the,
In the
yes.
yes.
And there was
I
that,
wasn't
there
ready
was the
about that one. Yeah.
twisted, it was a
Yep.
twisted dolly with the
Yep.
voice, and yeah, none of it worked for me.
No.
None of it did, except Duke Kaboom. Duke Kaboom was awesome.
Yes. Yes, he was.
So
Now I
really
remember.
looking forward to Keanu Reeves voicing Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be great.
Yes.
And that's a heck of a line. I mean,
It's a solid lineup.
Keanu Reeves, Idris Elba, Jim Carrey,
Yep.
and then what's his name? Play Sonic, of course, I forgot.
Oh, I can never
Oh,
remember his
Ben
name either.
Schwartzman. Ben
Ben
Schwartzman.
Schwartzman, Colleen
And
O'Shaughnessy.
yeah, and but and she's the only OG one, because she plays
She's
Tails
the
in the
OG.
cartoon. Yeah.
Yes, she is the OG, which
So
is fantastic.
can't wait for this movie. It's gonna be
Okay.
amazing.
So yeah, those are going to be really cool. Moving from the film world to the board game world.
Oh.
There is a video game franchise getting a board game. It's a franchise I've never played and always wanted to. Maybe you, I don't know if you've played this one, but
Oh, I saw this.
Rayman is getting a board game later this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. When I saw the announcement, I thought it was getting a like a Mario Party type video game, but this is a physical board game.
No, this is a
Yeah, I know that's cool.
physical board game where you team up with your favorite heroes in an epic race while dodging dangers and saving teensies.
Of course.
So it's a 2 to 5 player game for ages 7 to 77.
There you go. So if you're 6 and below or 78 and above, too bad, so sad.
Yep, so it's coming out Q3 of 2024. So if you are a fan of the Rayman series and you happen to be a board gamer, I'm an avid board gamer, pick up Rayman the board game when it
And
comes
they're
out.
great game. Actually, the pieces look like HeroClix.
Yes, they do, which is also kind of cool. The pieces
Yeah,
do look
right.
nice. Here's a couple more bits of news in the real world. Super Nintendo World has been building Donkey Kong Country Park
Yes, I heard my cousins were
at
just
Universal
down there.
Japan.
They saw the building, that is still doing.
Yeah. So yeah, and I'm really hoping that I get to Japan in time to see this. Also, I haven't seen Super Nintendo World in Japan, which I'm dying to see.
Yeah, right.
But they just announced Donkey Kong Country Park was supposed to open spring of 2024. They've now pushed that back to late 2024, so it's going to be opening more towards the end of the year.
All right.
So, eh, that's
Not
fine.
too bad.
People wait a
So it'll
little
be
bit
a
more.
Tropical freeze theme.
Yes, it may be. So, yeah, so a couple things I need to do. I need to see Super Nintendo World, Donkey Kong Country Park, and I need to go to the Nintendo Hotel when I go to Japan.
Oh, I forgot about the Nintendo Hotel, because
Oh, I have not.
I'm my head's in Florida.
I
Yeah.
have not forgotten about that. I need to go.
Can you imagine? That's gonna be awesome.
I know. I have one more bit of real world news.
What is this real world stuff?
Well, you know, video game stuff in the real world. And here, Larry, this is something that I finally found something. I think I finally found something where you, me, Jack, Rich, all of our video game friends really need to pool our money for this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because for a minuscule $70,000, we can all become part owners of a 2006 PlayStation Experience trailer.
Trip.
The So back in 2006,
mm-hmm.
Sony created an actual trailer, like a tractor trailer that
oh,
would tractor trailer that would drive around to promote the PSP
gotcha
and
now.
The PS2 console. So this trailer is on Facebook Marketplace currently by Reddit user Arguing Master. That's his name. It still has the Sony branding on it. It's a silver trailer, has the PSP on one side, PS2 on the other. It's got the PlayStation logo on it. And when you go inside the trailer, it's set up with television screens.
Yeah.
It's got the hookups with the controllers and everything. Only 70 grand.
And needs a little bit of loving with cleaning. And then I think there's Kobe poster. Yeah,
you know what? A little cleaning, some power washing on the outside, and you're good to go.
There you go.
But this is the epitome. Something to stick in your driveway that nobody else has.
Where is this?
That I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got posters for ATV Off-Road Fury 4, SOCOM Fire Team Bravo 2, and NBA 07.
Now that'll explain Kobe.
Yep. So it's been out of service for several years. It's been in storage.
Sure looks it.
Yep, it's been in storage. But come on, something to rehab?
I'm in.
It's definitely a piece of history that not a lot of people would have.
If you're looking at a photo of it, how hot did it get inside that trailer that they need these two giant industrial fans?
Oh yeah,
no, jetting gonna... out the back of the truck.
Oh, you know the sweat was real.
Holy Lord,
the sweat was real. No question about it. Okay. So, and since we're talking about buying things, here's another bit of news. See, I'm trying to string the news together into like actual themes.
That works. Sure.
Right. So remember the story from a week or two ago about the guy who bought Castlevania for $90,000.
Yes.
And he bought it because it was the very first game. It was a very sweet story. Game his mom ever bought him. So he actually bought a sealed copy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At least we thought it was a sealed copy because you thought he opened it.
I'm pretty sure he opened it. I did not see cellophane on that second.
No, you know what? If you're spending 90 grand, you buy a sealed copy and then you go buy a used copy to play with.
This is
true. That's what you do.
This is true.
But there's more to the story about this.
Oh.
No. Not about him specifically.
Is he selling hot sauce?
No, but he's not. But about where he got the game, where he purchased it from. It turns out that the person selling the game was also selling other rare NES titles. He acquired them from an estate sale.
Oh.
And going back to the estate sale, it was the games were originally owned, this one and other games, because he listed a whole bunch of other sealed mm-hmm. games. Because he sold a copy of Kid Icarus for $82,000.
Wow.
The games were owned by a pair of brothers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who began collecting video games in the 1980s when they were already in their 60s. They were 60 years old when they started collecting.
Okay.
They would buy multiple copies of the same game, keeping one in pristine sealed condition and then opening the other one to play it in hopes one day they would be able to cash in on it.
Geniuses in the 80s. Who would have thought of that back then?
Geniuses in the 80s, except unfortunately, both brothers passed away before they could sell them, and so they were thrown up on an estate sale.
Oh my gosh.
So the buyer who purchased them at the estate sale then turned them around and put them online for thousands and thousands.
I wonder how much he bought them at the estate sale.
That it does not say that.
Of course it's not.
How many games did he purchase in sealed condition? 166 games are currently up on Heritage Auctions.
Wow.
166.
Now, here's the thing. Back in the 80s, buying two games, I don't care if it's the same copy or not, buying two games was insane back then.
Yep.
We only got to do it in my household during Christmas. My dad would get his Christmas bonus. We'd head out to the Staten Island Mall, which was like this, like, compared to the Kings Plaza Mall. And that was the only time of the year I was able to buy two video games. And I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
But think about this. These were guys in the 80s who were in their 60s, so they were already well established in whatever professions they had, right? Just think about it this way. And they just saw this as a way of like, it's an investment.
Well, yes, if you want to put reality to it, yes. Yeah. But like talking about like how much like the dollar was back in the 80s.
True.
You know, still, that's a lot of money back then for two games.
Well, maybe they had good money. They may have had good jobs. Or they were single, right? They had no families to support. Okay. Who knows? But the bottom line is they unfortunately did not manage to cash in on their fortune.
No.
And somebody else took total advantage.
Not even worth it. Wasn't even worth it.
But, you know, hey, somebody's benefiting from it. All right. Final Fight. You know the game Final Fight?
I love Final Fight, yes.
Well, if you love it so much, you can read about them because Final Fight is coming out as a comic book in July.
Oh.
There will be Udon Studios announced. It is producing a 4-issue Final Fight comic series.
Okay.
In collaboration with Capcom.
I would hope so.
The series will tie in with Udon's currently ongoing Street Fighter comic series.
Okay.
So,
well, when you say tie in, like crossover?
Well, in other words, like they're going to be in the same universe, and there's actually a cover for Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day in May, they're releasing Street Fighter versus Final Fight as a comic.
That's cool.
So, and you can go to a comic book store, any comic book store on Free Comic Book Day, and get a copy of that.
Apparently, there was a Final Fight animated movie.
Uh-oh. There you go with your movie rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
All right,
maybe
enjoy.
A TV series.
All right, I'm moving on while you look that up. A bit of sad news to bring up, but also very, very... surprising, and also I got to give the respect to this thing. The original processor used in the Pac-Man arcade way back in 1980 is finally being discontinued after 48 years.
Wow.
This processor has been used for 48 years. It's called the Zilog Z80.
Originally, like from out of space.
It was an 8-bit microprocessor that originally released in 1976 and has been used for 40, it has been on the market for 48 years. The designer just recently announced that the Z80, the Zilog Z80 is being discontinued as of this June.
Hmm.
Now, in terms of video game history, how is this related? The Z80 was used in many pieces of hardware, including ColecoVision, the ZX Spectrum, the MSX, the Amstrad CPC, and obviously, like I said, in Namco's original 1980 release of Pac-Man in the arcade.
Interesting.
So,
to get that much fight out of it is wild.
Yeah. Well, in recent years, it became a popular microcontroller used in embedded systems.
Gotcha.
So that's how it stayed alive. It just kept morphing.
Okay.
So again, you know, sad to see that it's getting discontinued, but hey, a 48-year run for a processor. That's,
oh, forget about it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's wild.
Absolutely amazing. So the Zilog Z80.
Resistance is futile against the Zilog. Yes.
Okay, moving on to the PSP, PlayStation Portable, which is something I've actually been wanting in my collection lately.
PSP is phenomenal. I regret selling it back.
Yeah, like I'm eventually going to add one of these. Mm-hmm. But apparently there used to be an issue with the PSP where if you didn't mod it correctly, it would break.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it would just break. Now, the modding community. So for anybody out there who has a PSP and they've bricked it, the modding community has actually figured out a way to unbrick a PSP.
Finally.
Yes. So I have no idea how to say this person's name, Aisirigh, AISEIRIGH. Is a universal unbricker tool for all PSP models.
An unbricker.
Unbricker. So if you have a PSP that's been bricked, look up Aisirigh. I don't know how to say that, but AISEIRIGH. And you can get the unbricker tool to fix your PSP. All right, moving on.
Oh, yeah, Aisirigh. Look at that.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, Aisirigh. So real fast, just to go back, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. The Final Fight is actually not a movie or a show. It was an episode of the Street Fighter cartoon.
Oh.
So they actually already did a crossover. From 1997. It's like season two. But yeah, so I wonder if they tried it like one of those, what do they call those? Backdoor pilots,
Like a backdoor pilot,
like
yeah.
when, yeah, they do a pilot on an already existing show.
Yes.
What if they tried doing it like that?
They might have done that.
That's pretty cool though. So it was a Street Fighter show, but it had a Final Fight episode. So I thought that's pretty
okay,
cool.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Arcade 1-Up. We all love Arcade 1-Up, right?
Yeah, I love my Arcade 1-Up.
I love your Arcade
1-Up
too.
Yeah.
I love your Arcade 1-Up too with my high score. And I love my X-Men Arcade 1-Up. And I love, 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 love the X-Men 97 Arcade 1-Up they
yeah,
just
it looks
came out
nice.
with.
Yeah.
I really want it. But then I got to replace my beautiful X-Men one. Or I can have two X-Men ones,
No, you
right?
can have two because I don't think that one has the X-Men arcade game on it. I think it only had the fighters.
Oh, no, no, no. I thought they put... Well, I got to look and see what's on the list. Anyway, that's not what I'm reporting here. What I'm reporting now is Arcade 1-Up... Arcade 1-Up is teaming up with TaskRabbit to make
Oh, I saw
the
this.
Metro Game Room. So basically, TaskRabbit is a website where you can hire somebody to do something for you. Literally, like, put together IKEA furniture, go grocery shopping for me, stuff like that. Or, like, you know, lots of things are on there. Like, just go to TaskRabbit, look it up. Now there's a whole section where TaskRabbit will offer a special service on its site where it'll let you hire somebody to come to your home and put together your Arcade 1-Up machine.
Which, look, for some people, that sounds cool. I mean, it was a task. I tried doing it by myself when I had to put together the Ms. Pac-Man. It took me a while.
Yep.
I got to it, but I was beat by the time it was done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
I
remember...
mean, it took me a while to put together my mom's Wheel of Fortune one.
Oh, you ended up getting that?
I gave it to her for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I gave her the Wheel of Fortune
Oh, did you
slot.
play it?
I did. I had to test it. Well, because what I did was I put it together at my house.
Yeah.
Right. Tested it, made sure it worked and everything like that.
Don't tell me you took it apart then.
No, no. Oh. And then when I was going to my sister's on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
I stopped at my mom's house first and I put it there. I put it there. Because it was in two pieces, I put it together.
I'm trying to figure out how you got it in
pieces.
your car.
It was in two pieces.
Still, the top half is huge, isn't it?
It fit in the back seat.
Did it really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, fit in
all
the back
right,
seat
enough.
In two pieces. Went to my mom's house before we're going to my sister's.
Yeah.
Put it. My mom was already at my sister's. Put it together. Put
Oh.
a bow, red. Put a nice red bow on it.
Oh, look at you.
And then I told my mom, I was like, "When you go home, I go. I gave her other things, but I said, "When you go home, there's one more Christmas gift at home." And then on Christmas Day, she called me. You know, Merry Christmas, yada yada. She's like, I can't find what you gave me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, you can't miss it. She's like, I don't understand. She's like, I'm looking all over. I don't know where it is. And I'm like, it's like, turn around and look in your dining room. Ow! Literally like that. And I was like, wow.
That is phenomenal.
I mean, the thing's like 6 feet tall.
No, I know. That's why I'm like, how the hell did you get in your car? No, I had no idea you did that. There was a scene from Family Guy. It was a cutaway, like Christmas. And they like, they open up a package and like Lois like, oh, you got me an arcade machine. And Peter's like, then just shoves her out of the way and starts playing.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Oh, Peter, thank you. An arcade style Galaga machine. Oh, thank you, Peter.
Move!
I just imagine you doing that, like,
no, no,
Merry
no,
Christmas, Ma. Get out of the way.
Well, no, I definitely played it a bit in my house.
Is it fun?
House. It's a lot of fun because it's not just one slot machine.
Yeah, there's other ones on it. Yeah,
it's multiple slot machines, and you unlock other games on it. Like they have other games like Mahjong and other stuff on it, like dominoes. But there was a cool version of the game where you're spinning this. It's a slot machine, but on the top screen there's a Wheel of Fortune puzzle, and as you're spinning the slot machine, it'll give you a letter, and it puts the letter in, and you have to solve the puzzle.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot
of
fun.
That sounds cool. Yeah,
I'm tempted to get my own, but I don't think awesome. I don't think you'd ever see me again. I'd be like Gollum in his cave with my precious. That'd be the end of me. So I can't have one.
Well, on a side note, that could be your third one because X-Men 97 is basically just the fighters.
Okay. Good to know.
So
I may have to get that. All right. Moving on to other news. Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, which is about almost 25 years old. It'll be 25
years old. PS2, I think, right?
No, N64.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm thinking of the
No, the N64,
Water
Castlevania
Shadows.
Legacy of Darkness.
Yeah.
Again, Castlevania for N64 came out,
Oof.
was panned,
It
and
was
then they
tough.
came out with Legacy of Darkness, was kind of fixed
Yeah,
the
it
issues in
was. Yeah,
Castlevania 64.
it was an hour bad, yeah.
Right, but we're bringing this up because after 25 years, because Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, there were four characters you can play as in the game, but you had to unlock them.
I was gonna say, I only remember two of them. Okay.
There were four. There were
I didn't realize it was
originally,
four.
yeah, there were four players that there was Cornell, Reinhardt, Carrie, and Henry. Those were the four
Okay.
players. Those were the four characters,
Henry.
and you had to unlock three of them.
Okay.
Until now, because somebody discovered a Konami code in the game that unlocks all four characters at the beginning.
You mean there's a Konami code in a Konami game?
There's a Konami code in the Konami game. Now, it's not the one we all know. It's
Oh,
close.
then
It's
it's not
close.
the Konami
It's
code.
not
It's
the
a
Konami code.
Konami code.
It's a Konami code.
Okay.
And again, for an N64 controller, what you do is you press C up four times, C down four times, C left twice, C right twice, C left twice, C right twice, LRZ.
Well, that sure almost sounds like the
It's almost the
Konami
Konami code.
code.
It's like, you know what it is? It's double the
It
Konami
really
code.
is, actually. You're right. Yeah,
It's
up,
double.
down, down. Yeah.
It's just basically you double it and then you hit three buttons.
Yep.
So that was discovered. For anybody who has Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, I don't. I have Castlevania,
I
not
never
Legacy
owned
of
either one
Darkness.
of them.
I own the first one
Yeah.
and never bought the second one because I hated the first one on
Don't blame
N64.
you.
So if you have Legacy of Darkness and you do enjoy it, go back, try the code, see what happens.
Will do.
All right, moving on. Okay, now we're moving on to game releases, which are coming
Okay.
out. Okay, Nintendo Switch is getting a new collection called the Epix Collection Handheld.
Just saw this yesterday.
Yep.
Yes.
So six Atari Lynx games will be coming to the Switch in the Epix Collection. Epix
Yep.
being EPYX,
Yeah.
right?
Great, great publisher.
Yes. So these were games first. Again, these were games on the Atari Lynx. And what you're getting are Larry's favorite California games,
Ugh.
Electrocop, Blue Lightning,
Very good.
Gates of Zendikon,
I have.
Todd's Adventure in Slime World,
I don't know, Margo.
and why is the carpet all wet, Todd? And last but not least, Xarlore Mercenary.
The only one I haven't heard of in this list.
Yeah, and it's a top-down shooter,
Yeah, I see
which
that.
so
So I
you'll
might have to
like
put this
that.
up just for that because I
Yeah,
have, I think, almost every other one of these
I was
games.
going to say these are games right up your alley, except for California games I know you hate.
No, yeah, any of those California or
Love the NES one. So,
winter games or any of those.
oh, I loved Winter Games. That was so much fun. All right, so Epic's Collection, if you're interested in that, will be released on April 25th. So
Oh,
about so
man.
so 2 days after this drops.
I think I have all these on my I mean, it's not bad, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think I have all these on the Evercade.
Oh no, you mean that you're gonna buy them again? And
No,
speaking
I didn't.
of the Evercade, I have some Evercade news. But
Oh, I just ordered one game
I
for
know,
the Evercade.
but before I get to that, I want to just touch on this Atari news, which I'm really excited about. Atari recently announced a new Metroidvania style game based off a classic Atari
Oh, yeah.
2600 game.
I saw this and I'm trying to figure out where the stories merge.
I have no idea,
Neither do I.
but the game Yar's Revenge is now be I don't know if it's a sequel
No, I think it's just
or
in
just
the
a re
world.
Yeah, in the world of Yar's Revenge, we are getting Yar's Rising, which is a Metroidvania game. It's just going to be I don't know how to explain this one, but it looks awesome to me. I love Metroidvania games.
Oh yeah,
So,
me too. And actually, there's a couple on Kickstarter right now, which look
yeah.
phenomenal. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Oh, wait
Yeah.
a minute.
So WayForward, the company that's working on this is
Oh, that's
it's
something else.
called the company working on this is called WayForward.
WayForward is amazing. They put out some
Yep.
top-notch stuff.
Well, and they've put out other Metroidvanias based on other classic games,
Oh
and which
yeah.
I wasn't aware of. So
Oh yeah.
the Mummy Demastered, Aliens Infestation, and Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, which I know you know that one for sure.
Yeah, totally.
So I have to say the trailer for this looked great. I'm very interested in Yars Rising, so I'm looking forward to this one.
No, yeah,
And
this looks
yes.
amazing.
And now on to the Evercade news,
But
right?
if someone can tell us how this game is linked to
To
Yars,
Yars Revenge, that would
it'd
be
be
helpful.
amazing.
Yes. All right. So moving on to the Evercade news. Got a couple of things. First off, a couple of collections announced. The first one is the Thalamus collection, announced for Evercade consoles.
Yeah, this looks interesting. A company I've never actually heard of before. I just never thought about.
Yeah, so it contains a collection of games originally released on the Commodore 64. These are all Commodore 64 games, and it comes with 11 games. Armalite Competition Edition, Creatures 2, Hawkeye, Heatseeker, Hunter's Moon Remastered, Nobby the Aardvark, which sounds awesome.
I think that was their last game they ever published.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Retrograde, Snare, Summer Camp, and Winter Camp. I don't know if that's like summer games and winter games kind of
I think
thing.
kind of maybe like in a
Maybe.
camp setting, yeah.
Pre-orders are on April 30th. This
Sounds
one was
good.
more exciting to me. It makes me want to get an Evercade. But Evercade recently announced that they're going to be releasing new Giga Carts.
Yes, this looks really cool.
Giga Carts are going to obviously they're larger storage capacity so they can put bigger games on it. And the first Giga Cart they have announced,
Unbelievable.
the Tomb Raider Collection 1. They're
Yeah.
calling it Collection 1. And on it, you're
Oh, they
going to
are calling it
get,
Collection One.
which means there might be another one.
Yeah, look at that.
And on it, you're going to be getting Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider 2, and Tomb Raider 3.
And these are specifically, because someone asked them, these are the original.
Original
They are not
PS1
remastered,
graphics.
remakes, nothing like that.
Nope.
OGs.
The OGs, Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3, which means you're going to hate it because you tried Tomb Raider 1 OG when we did Game of the
Yes, we
Week for
did,
it.
and I can't stand it.
So, but this made me really excited about the Evercade. I wasn't, I was actually made my peace with not getting an Evercade because I have a lot of these games.
I hear you.
But my mind is starting to change a little bit.
Well, not only that, but I don't know if it's part of your news, but they
It's my
also
last
announced.
piece of
Okay,
news.
go for it. Knock it out.
Last piece of news. Evercade EXPR and Evercade Versus R consoles launching this July,
Yes.
along with the Evercade Tate Grip or Tate
Yeah,
Grip.
this is very. Yeah, I
So,
still haven't been Tate. Ta, I think it's Tate.
okay. You want to talk about these since you're excited
Yeah,
about
and
them?
there's really not much to talk about, to be honest with you, because they actually there were so many questions with these that Evercade actually put out a facts page. And no, it's not FAQs, it's facts. Facts page.
FAQs.
Facts.
FAQ.
So like for the most part, these systems are no different than the current run. They're just kind of like updated color schemes of the system
Yep.
themselves. The Evercade VSR literally is no different on the inside, just a new color pattern. The Evercade EXPR, the handheld, is so different. It's on like such a minuscule level that it doesn't even warrant noting what the difference is.
Yeah.
So there's it's not like an upgrade. It's nothing anything major other than the new color schemes, but they do drop in price. Now they're both $100, the systems.
Yeah, so I'm like the VSR, I'm
No,
very
totally.
tempted. Very
Totally. And even
tempted.
if you got the EXPR, that does plug into the TV. I'm
Yeah.
just saying. But again, I mean, this aunt, you got me this. This is probably the best gift you ever got me because I get a lot of use out of it
I know you do.
with my. And they just updated the system where now you can. How can I put it? Like there was ne there's no store, like there's no e-shop because nothing's digital, everything's on a physical cart. That's the whole idea. And the saves, they even made it a point to say all your saves are on the physical cart because you can move it from system to system. But even though there's no shop, they just updated the system where you can still access the full catalog to not to play but to see what's available. And they'll also post like n updated like news, like here's the new cart, like they'll feature these new carts to show you what it's about. And what's also cool is now when you put a cart in, like that list of all the games will highlight the ones that you own.
Oh, that's cool.
So it kind of keeps a running track for you,
Yeah,
which is kind of
that's
cool.
awesome.
I spent like 5 minutes just popping carts in because I got 10 of them, or
Nice.
11 actually, I think. But yeah, no, these new systems are really cool. Again, the price drops, so it's worth it. And
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I said it again, and I'm just echoing whatever Cade said. These are collections of games that some of these games are in the hundreds of dollars to own the
Yeah.
originals. And yeah, it'd be cool to own the original, don't get me wrong. But if you're not that hardcore, and I know you're not that hardcore of a collector, at least maybe like with Zelda, you will be, and maybe some other.
Yeah, with a couple
But
of franchises, yes.
overall,
Yeah.
and that's what I love about these, because the carts, the regular carts are normally $20 US. The Giga carts are going to be $25, which is fine if you're getting more, with it, more memory and everything. So everything's reasonably priced. And again, a lot of these games that are, I forgot which one it was. I forgot which collection I have it on. But there's one of the games that, again, I don't remember the name, but like Out in the Wild, the original game is probably like $150, $200, which is fine to own if you can have it.
Right.
Or you can buy a cart with 9 to 12 other games on it for
Yeah.
$20.
Yeah.
Well, if you can find it early enough, on Amazon, because you can buy these on Amazon. And I just pre-ordered the Sunsoft Collection 2, which I believe has Gimmick on it, and that alone can go for a few hundred dollars
Yeah.
on the NES, and I'm getting it for $20.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth it if you just
Totally
want
worth it.
the games and you're not like doing the collector bit with
And
them for sure.
I can say, because I've had games that I have on the Evercade versus like their counterparts, like Soldies or Soul Feast. It's the same game. I
Yes.
have the Sega CD version, and now I have the Evercade version, and there's really no difference
Yeah.
in the graphics. You know what I mean? So the only thing is, and I think they tried pointing out, I forgot what Evercade said, because some people made it a point like, how's the controller going to be with Tomb Raider? But they did say, I think with a future update, I don't think it's ready yet, but with a future update, you'll be able to use other USB controllers.
Yeah, because you're going to need to for that.
Yeah, so but the controller itself I enjoy. It's really not too, I mean,
Yeah.
it's a D-pad, but still, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Plus, I think the first Tomb Raider, I don't think took advantage of the
Well,
analog.
no, it didn't. It was the
Yeah,
future
so.
Tomb Raiders.
But in any event, Evercade,
Yep.
I am all in
So,
on it, and I
yep.
highly recommend you be all in on it.
I know I'm getting closer to it. But for now, that's it for Retro News.
All right, so then let's wrap this all up. And one
Please.
more time, where can they find us?
If you guys are still listening, you can
They
find us on
are.
Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast, on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and Spotify at RetroGamersPodcast, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes, and with that, we will call it a week.
Oh, yes, we
And
will. We should call it 2 weeks.
maybe, well, like I said, we might be able to stretch this out. We will talk. With that, and have a wonderful week. Have a
You have a
wonderful
good week
weeks.
as well.
And we'll catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.